Our old young friend, Senator Rand Paul from the great state of Kentucky. We have so much to talk to you about, Senator Paul. How are you? How's everything?
Very good, Laura. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So the Comey show is tomorrow. We'll get into that in just a moment. But the more we're learning about this unmasking, now looks like Lindsey Graham was surveilled and he's requesting any documents, emails, communications about his unmasking. This seems to be getting bigger, but there's a dearth of curiosity on the part of the mainstream media that just, you know, wants to go back to Russia, Russia, Russia.
If it turns out to be true that the Obama administration used the intelligence agencies for political purposes, this will probably be the greatest abuse of power in recent history. And it is an underreported story, but we're going to get to the bottom of it. I know Senator Graham is trying to get records through his committee. I know the head of the House Intelligence Committee is now asking CIA, NSA, and FBI for records. We now have evidence that there are lots of people, and it's not just the unmasking. The information gets masked when it gets sent out from the NSA or the FBI, but it's raw. So hundreds and hundreds of people at the FBI and the NSA have access to things that are not masked at all. It only gets masked if it gets sent to agencies outside of the NSA or the CIA or the FBI. It's when it gets crossing these boundaries that it gets masked. And it is a problem. But I think also what I've been told is that they can look at most conversations, and if it's between me and a foreign leader, how hard is it to determine who it is if the foreign leader starts out by saying, well, how are things in Kentucky? You know, and so it's pretty easy to figure out who it is. If it happens to be a conversation and I happen to be traveling worldwide, my schedule's fairly public, and people can figure out that I was in that country, and so they don't even need to unmask you. But this power is such an extraordinary power, we have to have more oversight. And really, frankly, the intelligence agency should not be spying on the legislative branch.
Well, I think the more we hear, the less comforting it is. The problem is there's such a shroud of secrecy around this issue, and they'll say it's necessary for national security purposes. But I think there's less.
Realize how partisan some of these guys are. Clapper is over in Australia spouting off, saying that this is worse than Watergate. So that's an inflammatory partisan position, and he supposedly was the nonpartisan, you know, head of the intelligence. And he's over there spouting that this is worse than Watergate. He was also spouting 2 days before on climate change being the greatest threat to our national security. So these people are partisans. Clapper was a partisan. Clapper was also a perjurer, someone who came to the Senate and lied about what the intelligence community was doing. The one thing we have to have is we have to have control of agencies that are able to listen to all of our phone conversations and read all of our emails. We have to have more oversight. Only 8 people in Congress are ever told anything. Only the top 8 officials in the House and the Senate know anything about what's going on and who they're spying upon. We need more oversight because it tends to be the top people overseeing the intelligence committees tend to be apologists for the intelligence community. We need some skeptics, some people who want to defend privacy need to know what's going on as well.
And one thing that seems to be lost on a lot of folks who are just in a Pavlovian rush going along to agree with whatever, you know, the supposed informed pundits are saying on TV. One thing that gets lost is that the president of the United States is the nation's chief law enforcement officer. His Article 2, Section 1 powers entrust him with heading the entire executive branch. The idea, and this goes to the Comey testimony, the idea that the president of the United States cannot meet with the head of the FBI, in my view, is it's constitutionally just a joke. Everyone just assumes, Comey has to be able, he has to have his independence. Well, yeah, that's as a prudential matter. You don't want to politicize investigations. Well, that's for sure. But the president has every right to talk to the FBI director.
The other thing, Laura, realizes is that if the president is putting pressure on someone to tell the truth, there's nothing wrong with that. So if the president is pressuring Comey to say, if you have no information that we're linked to this, say it, that is putting pressure on him to tell the truth. If the president is putting pressure on him to say, if you've gone through all of this and you concluded it, find all the information and be done with this silly investigation, that is the president pressuring him to do his job and to tell the truth. So there's nothing inappropriate about that. He put pressure on Comey, and he said to Comey, tell the truth. If there is no evidence that I was involved, which he knows there's no evidence, tell the truth. But don't sit on this information for years and years and let innuendo suggest that we have any role. If the evidence is not there, tell the truth and really reveal it to the public. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Well, and I was thinking of it this way, Senator Paul. Let's say the president gave a speech, and he came close to saying this in a speech once or twice, but in a speech where he's talking about his initiatives and talking as he is today in Ohio about Obamacare, and he says, I hope this investigation into Flynn and all this, I hope this wraps up because, you know, Flynn's a good guy, but I hope this wraps up because we got a lot on our plate here for this country. We got a lot of economic issues we've got to get through on the domestic front and, of course, foreign policy challenges. So I hope this thing wraps up. I hope Comey wraps it up. What is that? I hope that would be undue pressure.
Well, see, the thing is it could be as much as do your job as well.
Right.
If you've done your job, let's get it done with. But I don't think at any point in time there was ever a conversation. I wasn't there. I was not a fly on a wall. But I would say at no point in time do I think that the president ever said, don't do the investigation. I think he said, if there's no there, let's conclude this thing. If you found out that there's no link, do it, but do your job and do it expeditiously. That is not obstruction of justice. That is, let's come to a conclusion. Tell the truth to the American people. If there's no evidence, tell the truth. Let's let the public make a decision on this. And so I think really this is a partisan witch hunt, and it's become partisan. And all of these Democrats who once upon a time believed in privacy, I won't say all because I still have some good friends who are working on privacy, but a lot of them that used to be concerned about privacy are now just concerned about making this a partisan witch hunt.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll play a soundbite for you. Mark Warner was on Morning Joe this morning, and this was just as the Christopher Wray news was breaking, where he was, of course, the president tweeted out that he had nominated the former head of the criminal division under George W. Bush to be the new FBI director. And again, this man is in a bipartisan fashion very well regarded, was confirmed to his position as assistant attorney general unanimously. Okay. Now, but this is what Senator Warner said.
In terms of Christopher Wray, I don't know that much about him. I hear he had a good reputation. I think it's more than a little curious that it appears, obviously, the president is trying to change the topic because we've got 2 days of hearings here that could be explosive.
So the senator from Virginia is actually saying, we're nominating an FBI director to change the subject. I mean, this is how low it's gotten. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, the real question here is, can we really get some of the things done that need to be done in this country and concentrate on that without being too distracted by this? Now, we should, if there is evidence, follow the evidence, and we should get to a conclusion. But the goal of a partisan witch hunt is not to get to a conclusion. It's to stretch it out as long as possible. And so if the president is telling them to do their job, get it done, and if there's no evidence, reveal that to the American people, you know, I think that's really an admirable position. Do your job, follow the evidence, but if there is no evidence, don't continue to insinuate there is by not revealing it to the American people.
This is what the senior senator from Kentucky, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, said yesterday on health care.
We had another of our ongoing discussions about the way forward on health care at a meeting earlier, and then throughout our luncheon discussion, we're getting closer to having a proposal that we'll be bringing up in the near future.
What's happening here? We're closer to a proposal, but Lindsey Graham said you are, quote, irretrievably gone on health care. That's what you're gone now. You're not even there.
We've informed Lindsey that we are advertising in our press shop for a spokesman, an assistant spokesman, but he has not applied for it. And so far, Lindsey is not my spokesman, and he needs to mind his own business, and he needs to try to present his view of the world, but he needs to lead me out of what he thinks my view of the world is. I have not made a final decision. I'm still trying to push it towards a repeal bill because I promised to repeal Obamacare. But I did not promise to keep 90% of the subsidies. I did not promise to keep 90% of the spending. And everybody's talking about the death spiral, the adverse selection in Obamacare that causes prices to go up. The Republican plans that I've seen so far do not fix the death spiral. They subsidize the death spiral. They're pumping all kinds of money into
Medicaid.
Federal risk pools, which is federal money that it goes to the insurance companies to pay them to try to stay in a market that's in a death spiral. So they don't fix the death spiral. They subsidize the death spiral so the insurance companies will continue to sell insurance. That's not a good idea. The federal government really does not need to be buying insurance and giving. The insurance companies make $15 billion a year. Giving taxpayer money to the insurance companies makes my stomach turn and makes me feel really, really bad that this is Republican proposals to give money to insurance companies.
We have medical experts who write for LifeZet, Senator, who agree with your analysis on this. So now we're in between the prospect of having a bad bill or, you know, no bill at all or a sort of repeal that's not really a repeal. It's a bad position to be in. But, you know, I don't know if I could advise you on this. I wouldn't even know what to do, frankly, if I were in your position.
Well,
There
is something really good that's out there, and I'm really pushing hard on this. I've talked to the president many times on it. I've talked to the Secretary of Labor on this. I want to legalize the ability of individuals to join a group
and
buy
pools.
Their insurance through a group.
The big group policies. Yes.
Yeah, there's 11 million people. They're plumbers, farmers, carpenters, welders. They buy insurance for them and their spouse. It's a terrible place to buy your insurance. I want them to be able to join the chamber,
good.
The National Federation of Independent Business,
great.
NRA, join an association, and then you will become part of a large pool. You get a cheaper price. You also get all the guaranteed issue that people want where you can't be dropped if you get sick.
Yeah, that's the best place to be, and Senator Paul's led the way on that. Senator Rand Paul, I wanted to ask you about the Saudi arms sale. Didn't have time, of course. Thank you so much for what you're doing to lead on fiscal sanity. Love having you on. Stay with us.
The Laura Ingraham Show.